So I get a double honor. I get a chance to come and talk with all of you today, and I get to introduce our next and our keynote speaker. When I talk about those common sense Midwestern progressive values, there is no one who better exemplifies those values than Representative Keith Ellison of Minnesota. Now I need you to visualize this. Keith is a mix between the Energizer Bunny, a progressive samurai, and a national leader on fighting for economic and social justice. He chairs the Congressional Progressive Caucus, the largest values-based caucus in Congress, and has helped propel our legislative and political successes like never before. And as an intelligent, articulate advocate for those values, he often appears in the national media as one of the brightest, shining progressive lights in Congress. And for all of that, he takes hits from the Tea Party. They attack his values, they attack his faith, they attack his accomplishments, but he devastates them over and over with his wit and charm and use of, and I know this is novel to some, facts. Progressives have no stronger champion in Congress than our next speaker. My friend, let's hear it for our neighboring member of Congress, Representative Keith Ellison of Minnesota.
Hey, Bob Fest! How you doing out there, Bob Fest? Boy, what a pleasure it is to see you. What a pleasure, what a beautiful day that we are together. I just want you to know that I'm so grateful to you for giving us Fightin' Bob La Follette. What a tremendous example of being a progressive he was, and the fact that you are maintaining his legacy in 2016 is a gift to the nation, and I want you to know that. You know, the fact is, if you are a young person or not so young person, you might think, oh man, things are so bad. How do they ever make things better? That, you know, how can we ever do better? And I want to tell you that 1890, you might say, was even rougher than we got right now. In 1890, we was only about 30 years out of slavery. In 1890, the trusts, the big giant monopolies, were controlling everything. The railroads were trying to control people's lives. If you got hurt or killed on the job, so what? I'm telling you, the 1890s were a tough time for working people in America. But there were some people who had the guts, who had the courage to stand up and say, you know what? We're going to fight this stuff back. We're not going to take it. And one of those people was Fightin' Bob, y'all. And I want you to know that Fightin' Bob La Follette was a white person speaking against racism before it was cool, y'all. He was speaking against prejudice and discrimination even as the southern states were passing segregation laws, trying to roll back all the progress that the nation had made in the Civil War. Fightin' Bob La Follette was all about that. But not only was he only about that, he understood that, you know what, the corporate power is the private interest. But if you are going to hold elective office, it is your job to maintain the public interest. And we don't ever get confused about who we're working for. I want you to know I am sold out. I am sold out to you, not no corporation. The big corporations, they got their own people representing them. The people need somebody to represent them. That's what they call democracy. And democracy means we're going to fight for the public good every day, day in, day out. And that's why I love Fightin' Bob La Follette, and I'm honored to be here with you guys. Now, let me just tell you this. If we got here at 7 o'clock in the morning, it'd be too early, right? If you show up here at 12 o'clock at night, you'd be too late. Timing is everything. And we are in a progressive moment right now. And if we don't seize the time that we're in now, we may miss the time. But I am telling you that it is not some bad luck accident, good luck accident, some mistake. It's not some weird occurrence that you had an unabashed, unapologetic progressive candidate in Bernie Sanders running for Congress, running for presidency, who ended up getting 22 states. 22 states. It wasn't just something that happened. What happened is that all over this country for years and years and years, they told us that rich people don't have enough money and poor people have too much. They told us as working people that our problem was not some multinational offshore in our jobs and poison in our water. No, our problem was our Mexican-American neighbor. Our problem was that Muslim community, that family across the street, the Khans. Our problem was Russ and Steve who want to get married to each other. That was our problem. Our problem was that, you know, women want to demand that they get equal pay on the job. They want to tell us that that's the problem. What they want to do is set one against the other and the other against the one. They tell us all that unions are the reason that the economy's not moving forward. They want to break us up, divide us, and set us against each other so we never look up and figure out who's screwing all of us all together. And our biggest solution in this moment and in this time, our biggest solution has got to be to seize the progressive moment that we're in and understand that solidarity is how we're going to succeed. Coming together, fighting against all these isms, embracing everybody. We all do better when we all do better. That means that nobody is left out. All are included in. And that means that people from different backgrounds, people of all kinds, no matter who you love, no matter who you want to be with. That means we embrace our veterans. We don't leave them out. We include them, but we don't ever forget them. And we make sure that we understand who it is that is our friend. Who is going to keep us together? Who is going to be our ally shoulder to shoulder? And that is all of us together. We are unified on one clear idea, and that is our families deserve respect and dignity. That in the richest country in the world, we shouldn't have our kids graduating from college with $100,000 in debt. How come Germany can send its children to college without charging them a bunch of debt? It's free in Germany. You know college is free in Germany. You know college is free in Denmark. The American economy, way bigger than those two economies, and yet we say we're too broke to pay for it, and they say that they can't possibly afford it, yet they're giving us F-35s and everything else that costs more money than you could possibly imagine. All it does is put money in the pockets of people who don't need it and don't use it right. The money, I'm telling you right now, America is not only the richest country in the world, America is richer itself than at any point in its own history. America is richer today than ever. We can afford to take care of our seniors, you people. We can afford to take care of our students. We can make sure that people live in dignity and with respect. We can absolutely afford to have people organize on the job and do collective bargaining so that they can have real power with the companies they work for. These things are not out of our control. I bet you some of you out there got loved ones who are fighting Parkinson's and you're fighting ALS and very serious diseases. Am I right about that? We got the money to invest in basic research to bring life-saving cures if we would invest in it. But we're cutting back on those investments every day. Yet we're letting companies like Mylan jack people up on an EpiPen, something that could save their lives. This is a scandal and it's wrong. We should not take it. We should fight back by banding together. What do you think about that? Now, I just want to say we absolutely are in a progressive moment. We're in a progressive moment when we can get one of America's great progressive senators back into the United States Senate. That's Russ Feingold. I'm going to tell you this. Russ is a fighter, you guys. Russ doesn't back down. Russ is not scared. And if you guys will send Russ back, we will do great things in the United States Senate. You will do a great service to our country. You will help the whole country out by sending him back. And I also want you to think about two other candidates. I want you to think about sending Sarah Lloyd to Congress. I want you to think about sending Tom Nelson to Congress, too. We need to have a progressive majority in the House and the Senate. I didn't say simply a Democratic majority. I said a progressive majority. And what I mean by that is somebody who's willing to stand up the courage of their convictions, somebody who's willing to fight back, somebody who's willing to come back home and explain why they're standing on a progressive platform to their constituents. Somebody who understands that the people really, really, really want to see the minimum wage go up. The people really want to see equal pay for equal work for women. They really want to see us expand Social Security. They really want to be able to see their kids have a future. And if you vote for those things, it's not going to cost you the election. It might just win you the election if you stand up and fight for what you believe in. We got to have people who are willing to fight for what they believe in and not always think that they got to go compromise with the big multinationals the second they get into Congress. We got to have some people who have never forgotten what Bob LaFollette tried to teach us, which is we work for the public interest. We work for you. Now, let me just say this. I want to say that we're only three down in the Wisconsin state legislature. And I'm going to tell you, boy, if there's anybody who admires the Wisconsin state legislature, it's me. I remember you guys, my buddy Mark Bocan and many others, got to run to Chicago to try to stop Scott Walker from hurting public employees. This is guts. This is courage. This is what it's all about. A lot of people think it's really important to be smart, and being smart is a good thing. But more important than smart, I think, is courage and heart. That's what we're lacking nowadays. That's what we need much more of. And that's what I'm asking you to do, is to send some people in there who are going to stand on the courage of their convictions and fight for the people who send them to Congress in the first place. Now, let me just say this to you. We are in a progressive movement, and we got to move forward. And not everything is about an election, but elections are important. You can wield power by marching in the street. You can wield power by demonstrating. You can push power by writing op-eds, and you can wield power by writing your legislators, and you can do a lot of things to make power. You can protest. Martin Luther King never, ever held elective office. But elections, people, are very important, and they do have consequences. And I just want to say to you that this particular election is extremely important for who gets on the Supreme Court. Think about that. They cannot wait. They cannot wait to try to get over there and put a justice on there who will undermine the right to collectively bargain for public employees. They had a case making its way up there when Scalia died, ready to go in there right then. But because he was gone, that case was stopped. Let me tell you, they are waiting on the Supreme Court, and the conservatives of this country understand something that you and I better learn, which is that this Supreme Court makes a big difference in the lives of people. Am I right about that? So we cannot let Donald Trump get his hands on the Supreme Court. I'm telling you right now, we got a chance. We got a chance right now to really make a case for diplomacy. You know, the Iran deal was a victory of diplomacy. We talked it out as opposed to shooting it out. And Hillary Clinton did back that place. She did fight for the Iran deal. Now, the other guy says he's going to rip it up on day one. That's what he said. He promised us that. On the other hand, Hillary Clinton, and I know some of y'all were Bernie people. So was I. But I'm telling you right now, Hillary Clinton at least believes climate change does exist and we should do something about it. The other guy says it doesn't even exist and it's a hoax. One candidate says we need comprehensive immigration reform. The other one says build a wall. And it's not just a physical wall, it's a metaphorical wall he wants to build between all of us. Remember I was talking about solidarity? Let me tell you, some say we need, one candidate says we need to increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour. The other one says the minimum wage is too high. Now, I'm telling you these things, respecting your individual opinion and what you believe. Bernie Sanders sent me to the platform drafting committee to work with other members of that platform drafting committee. Bernie sent 5, Hillary sent 6. And the DNC sent 4. and we came up with the most progressive platform in the history of the Democratic Party. The most progressive platform. I'm not saying it can't get more progressive now, but it's the best we've done so far. And what is the basis for unity? Our values, right? It's not a personality that I'm asking you to support. It's our value system that we share that are written down in that platform. You understand what I'm saying? So look, the progressive movement goes on. An election is an occasion. It's an important occasion. But after the election is not the end of anything. The election is the beginning of something. Don't you understand what I'm saying? The election is when you and I get to work. The election is when we start making sure that what was written in that platform becomes law. Now, who do we have a better chance of getting it in law with? That's obvious to me. That's obvious to me. Now, let me just tell you guys this as I wrap up. Donald Trump, we've never seen nobody like Donald Trump. We have never seen nothing like Donald Trump. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to lay facts on you. Donald Trump is unique and a historic figure because no party of any major party has ever had somebody who is openly hateful and racist and contemptuous and divisive as Donald Trump. What they used to whistle and insinuate and imply, he is screaming it into a megaphone. And I'm not just worried about Trump, I'm worried about Trumpism. What do I mean? Well, David Duke says he's running for Senate based on his inspiration from Donald Trump. I'm telling you, Donald Trump is green lighting haters all over this nation. And if you want to stand up against these haters, you got to get out there and knock doors, make calls, and campaign like there's no tomorrow for the next 53 days. If you want to push back on the haters, we got to get out there and campaign. We got to get out there and knock. We got to call. We got to work. We got to join together. We have to band together and meet people we never met before. We have to talk to people who have never voted before. Raise your hand if you have been able to get someone to vote who never voted before. Raise your hand. Felt good, didn't it? You did something good. You gave somebody power. You gave somebody control. You gave somebody a say-so in their own life when you helped them to vote. Now, I want you to feel even better. 10 times better, we all got to get out there and get everybody we can to participate in this election because our nation is at a moral fork in the road. We can either come together or we can go down that road of chaos. I choose togetherness. I know you do too. Am I right about that? Let me say that it is time for us to embrace this progressive moment and really make the words true, liberty and justice for all. Let's go do it, you guys. Thank you very much.
Keith Ellison, he gave the best speech at the Democratic Convention. It was really fantastic.